Hang on. It almost sounded like during announcements it wasn't very loud, so I just wanted to make sure it was on. Be fine, it's on now. Don't do it because I can hear it and everybody will be drowned out. No, I can't hear nothing anyway. But you have your Bibles with you this morning. I want you to be turning to the book of Jonah. We've been going through Jonah now for a couple of weeks. And we've been on this message here about running from God. Trying to pull this back up, it left me. And talk at the same time, and I can't do two things at once. There we are. So we've been dealing with the book of Jonah. We've been in chapter 1 now, for this is the fourth week that we've been in here. And we're going to slowly work our way through Jonah. There's so much in here. It's a short book. But God has so much to say to us when we're looking at this book and the life of Jonah. If you remember the first week, we dealt with assignments from God, because in verse 1 it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah." And then now for 3 weeks we've been dealing with this running from God, because what does Jonah do next? He runs from what God told him to do. And so we're trying to hash that out and get as much out of it as we can. And so we're going to finish up that today. And so if you have your Bibles open to Jonah, I want you to stand this morning in honor of reading God's Word, and you can follow along as I read. We're going to read the whole chapter once again through verse 17 and touch on different passages of Scripture as we work our way through it this morning. So Jonah, story starts like this. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise and call out to your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?' And so he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' And then the men were exceedingly afraid. And they said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he'd already told them. And then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?' For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, Lord, have done as it pleased you.' And so they picked up Jonah, they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights." Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the time that we spend in worship, the wonderful music. And now, Lord, that our heart is set upon heaven and our minds are clear, I pray that you would take your inerrant, your perfect word that is truth for all generations and all times. And Lord, you would speak it to us today as if it was just written. Lord, that it will convict us, that it will teach us, that it will draw us, and it will move so heavily upon us that if we find ourselves in a situation like Jonah and we're trying to run from you, to understand that you love us too much to watch us walk away. And Lord, that you're calling us back and giving us an opportunity to return to you. So speak from heaven this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So running from God, we've been dealing with this for a few weeks. I'll kind of jump back through some things that we've already said, and quickly we will get through this message today. But we know that a word of the Lord came to Jonah. God told him he wanted to go to Nineveh. God was planning judgment against the nation of Nineveh, but because of his grace and his mercy, he was giving Nineveh an opportunity to repent. This was not Jonah's first prophecy. We find Jonah in the book of Kings when he prophesied with the king about what territory the Israelites should have. And so this is not his first prophetic word. This is not his first word or his first opportunity or open door from God. But when we get to the book of Jonah, we find him not liking this message for a number of different reasons. You remember in that first message, maybe one reason Jonah ran from God is because we know that he did not like the Ninevites. They were the Assyrian Empire. They were world dominant for 50 years. Everybody was afraid of them. They were barbaric. They would just take stuff and loot stuff and kill people. And they wreaked havoc of the whole world. And the Israelites had found themselves at the same problem of standing before these Assyrians, not able to do anything about it. And Jonah possibly even lost someone close to him to their barbarianism. And so Jonah did not like this message. He did not like these Assyrians. Really what Jonah wanted to do was for God to judge the Assyrians, to get them out of the way so that Israel could prosper without the fear of them any longer. So he had some personal issues against the Assyrians. I believe another reason for it, we talked about it the other week, is where the Nineveh was located. It is in the heart of where ISIS took over in 2010 in Iran. And so, I'm not going to rehash that whole message again, but if you think about it, if God called you to go into the heart of ISIS and preach the gospel that those people need to repent, would you be excited about going? You'd be terrified. Because you know those people kill people. They hate Christians. They don't want to have anything to do with God, the God that we serve. And so this was Jonah. God was asking him to go to that place that is still a hotbed of terrorism and fear for the whole world. And God said, I want you to go there and preach the gospel to them. So it was a number of different reasons I believe Jonah was running from God. But God loved Jonah too much, and he loved the Assyrians too much, that he would just let this pass. And so when Jonah was running, God was pursuing. And so you can run from the Word of God, but you cannot run from, you can run from the will of God, but you cannot run from the Word of God. And Jonah thought that he could get out of where God's area was, that he claimed Israel. And instead of going 550 miles to the northeast to Nineveh to preach, he was going 2,500 miles to the west to get as far away from God as he could, to the end of the world in his day and his time. And so Jonah tried to run from God. And now we get to today, and I'm going to share with you what I shared last week real quickly, because this is really a two-part message. And then we're going to deal with this one point that is going to be the message for today. The devil has a ship ready for your departure. We talked about that last week. The devil has a ship ready for your departure. When Jonah decided to run from God, it wasn't hard. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going exactly where he wanted to go, paid the fare, got on, no waiting, and he was gone that quick. The devil has a ship for your departure. So if you want to run from God, the devil will make it easy. He will lay out a golden road for you, the red carpet he will roll out for you to get away from God. And so the devil has a ship ready for your departure. These are the three things we covered last week. People who run from God have plenty of excuses. Jonah had excuses of why he hated the Ninevites and didn't want to go and didn't want to preach to them. And so you hear people that are out of church and they don't come to church. They don't want to have anything to do with church. And they have excuses. They've got all the excuses in the world at why they don't come or are involved with God's people. And so we also talked about people who run from God have plenty of opportunities. Jonah's opportunity was to go to Tarshish. He was going to take a vacation, cruise, or whatever you want to call it. He was getting out of Dodge, and he was going to get away from God. So people who run from God have plenty of opportunities. Why? Because this world is full of anything and everything, every day of the year, every hour of the day that you want to do, it'll provide you an opportunity to go. Through entertainment and other things that this world has to offer, the world is endless with opportunities for you to do what instead of what God wants you to do. And then also we talked about last week, people who run from God have plenty of help. Jonah went down to Joppa, found some men going where he wanted to go and hopped on the boat with them and took off. And so people who run from God have plenty of help. Satan will bring people into your life that will give you open door opportunities to take you away from God. You see, some friends that we have and family members, some of those push you to follow God. Some of them try to pull you away from God. And what Jonah was doing was he found some people that was running wild like him, didn't care anything about God. He jumped on the boat with them and sailed away, thinking his problems were behind him. And so the devil has a ship ready for your departure. This is what we're going to look at today. The Lord has a storm ready for your discipline. The Lord has a storm ready for your discipline. What happens when Jonah runs from God here? In verse 4, everything's working out perfect for Jonah so far. He's not going to Nineveh. He's left his hometown. He went down to the seashore at Joppa. He found a boat with men going to Tarshish. In his mind, that's where he wanted to go. He paid the fare. He goes into the boat. Everything is cool. But in verse 4, we see God's discipline begin to come hard on Jonah. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea and a mighty tempest. And so Jonah's storm was beginning to come. You see, God loves you too much to just let you run away. He's going to make life so hard and so difficult, and the further you try to get away from Him, the more difficult it is going to be. And we need to finally wake up and realize that this is just not life. This is coming upon me because I'm running from God and trying to get away from Him. And so the Lord has a storm ready for your discipline. God uses discipline to get to interfere with Jonah's escape route to get away from God. So let's look at a couple things this morning that deals with this storm that God brings into our lives when we're trying to run from Him. First of all, running from God is a downward spiral. Running from God is a downward spiral. Can you follow Jonah's life here with me for a moment and just see that everything from the point that God told him to go, Jonah's life just took a nosedive. We find here in verse 3, God's told Jonah in verse 1 what to do and 2, and then we find him in verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. You see, he's inland in his hometown area in Israel, and he goes, instead of going east to where he's supposed to be going, he runs from God, so he has to go down to the coast. So we find Jonah going down to Joppa. And then we find Jonah going down into the ship. It says, but Jonah rose to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. He paid the fare for the ship. He paid his fare, and he went down into it. So he's going down, down, and he continually going down. That's the same thing that will happen in our lives when we try to run from God. But Jonah not only went down to Joppa and down into the ship, Jonah goes down into the basement of the ship, if we want to see it that way. Look at verse 4. Jonah's on the ship now. I mean, not verse 4, verse 5. It says, but Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, and he had laid down and he'd taken a nap. So now Jonah has went down to Joppa, he's went down into the boat, and now he goes down into the base of the boat, the bow of the boat. So Jonah's gone down to Joppa, down into the ship, down into the lowest parts of the ship. But that's not the end. Jonah continues this downward spiral. Jonah went down into the sea. If we skip forward in these verses, the storm's up. The men of the boat are trying to find out what's happening. Found out it's from Jonah. Jonah says, throw me into the sea and it'll be calm for you. And so the men didn't want to do that. They didn't want to kill Jonah for no reason. But it came to a point they realized they had to spare their own lives. They prayed to God and said, Lord, don't charge us with this man's death. And so they picked up Jonah in verse 15 and they tossed him into the sea. And now Jonah is going down into the ocean. So it's still not end yet. Jonah still got a ways to go. We get to the end of chapter 1 and verse 17. And Jonah went down into the belly of a whale. In verse 17, it says, "So the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights." You see, when you try to run from God, your life's going to take a downward spiral. It's not going to get better, and it's not going to get easier. Because God loves me too much, He loves you too much, for us to continually to run from Him. He's going to start storms in our life. He's going to start disciplining us. He's going to start pouring on the pressure. And the further we run away from God, the more difficult it will be. And so we just got to realize some of the problems that we have in our life. We need to take a step back and say, okay, what does God ask me to do that I'm not doing? Because this storm in my life is the discipline of God upon me. Because I'm not doing what God has called me to do. So when you run from God, expect your life to take a downward spiral. You may not go down to Joppa. You may not go into a boat. And you might not go into the bow of the boat. And you might not go into the sea. And you might not go to the belly of a whale. But your life will take a downward spiral. Because God is going to get your attention. He's going to put on the pressure until you do like Jonah in verse 1 of chapter 2 and finally cry out to God again. So Jonah's life took a downward spiral. Secondly, running from God is a dangerous spiral. It's not only a downward spiral, but it's a dangerous spiral. Nothing in Jonah's life worked out at this point. It worked out perfectly until he was on the boat. And then he started running into trouble. And so when you first run from God, everything may seem wonderful. It may seem peaceful. It may seem calm. But there's a storm on the horizon. Because God's not going to let you depart from Him, leave Him, be disobedient to Him, and have a happy life. So running from God is a dangerous spiral. While you're going down into troubles and hardships and difficulties. Let me just ask a question. I was going to do this with Danny. You listening, Danny? Because we hadn't rehearsed this. Jonah's name in the Hebrew means dove. Danny, what are birds made to do? What do birds do? Huh? Fly. A child. What are fish made to do? Swim. Now see, did I say anything to you before the sermon? No. So simple a child can understand it. Birds were made to fly. Fish were made to swim. Jonah's name in Hebrew means dove. A dove is a bird and it's made to fly. What's a dove doing in the ocean? He's not made to swim. He's made to fly. So when you think about this, doves are not made to swim. Doves are made to fly. When you run from God, you remove yourself from your divine purpose that God has for you. You see, Jonah was a bird in the sea where he was not created to. So he was out of his element. He was out of his divine purpose that he was created for. God created fish for the ocean, not birds. And so when you and I run from God, we take ourselves out of our divine purpose that God has for us. We're out of our element now. If Jonah was a dove, but he's in the sea, he's out of his element that God created him for. And so when you and I run from God, we find ourselves in the same situation. We find ourselves out of the very purpose that God has created us for. So man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We cannot glorify God and enjoy Him forever when we're out of our element. We're not living out our divine purpose that God's created us for. And until we get back into the center of God's will, life will make no sense. And God will not be glorified in our lives. And we will not enjoy Him forever. Because you know what? When you're running from God, you're not talking to Him. You're not reading His Word. You're not wanting to be at church. You don't want to be around God's people because you don't want to be confronted with God's Word. And so you distance yourself. Jonah left everything to get away from everything that he might be confronted with his disobedience of running from God. So running from God creates future problems. And now I want us to understand this, because in the very beginning of Jonah's departure from God, things seemed wonderful. The doors were wide open. He found a red carpet spread from his hometown all the way down to the shores of Joppa. He found a nice carpeted bridge from the land to the ship. And he found a nice place in the bottom of that boat that he could get comfortable and take him a long nap. Everything seemed wonderful when he first started running from God. Everything seemed to work out. The Bible actually says this, that he went down to Joppa and happened to find a ship that was going to Tarshish. He'd already made up his mind where he wanted to go. Well, there it was. Everything, it seemed like this was the will of God for him to escape because everything was in place. And when you and I run from God for the first few days, few weeks, maybe even first few months, we might think we're getting away with it. But understand this. Running from God creates future problems. Future problems. Listen to this verse here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows in the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. How many of you ever planted a seed in the ground? Most of us, flower. Many of you are involved in farm life and everything else. I can guarantee it, 100% of the time, you're not going to plant that seed and watch a plant grow. You're planting a seed, but it takes time for that thing to start coming up and start growing. So when you first start running from God, it's like planting a seed in the ground. It looks like nothing's happening. But then you start getting the fruit. And so it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. You're fixing to reap a harvest running from God that you did not plant and you don't want to reap. But once it starts producing, you can't do anything about it. So we have to be careful. If Jonah would have known that he was going to be thrown into the sea in the belly of a whale, he may have changed his mind about running from God and never went down to Joppa. But he didn't consider that. He just didn't want to do what God called him to do, and he made up his mind what he wanted to do, and he pursued it. But remember, at the very beginning, everything was wide open, everything was easy. There was a ship ready for him. There were people letting him on the boat. He paid his fare that he had the money for. He went down into the boat, and everything was wonderful, and they may have even sailed for a few days. We don't know how long Jonah was in the boat before the storm came up. My guess is it had to be a few days because they were so far away from land, there was no escape. The storm was going to drown them. There's nothing the men could do about it. So everything seemed wonderful. Sailing under a blue sky to Tarshish to get away from God. But whatever a man sows, he will reap. Jonah was running from God and now the storm was coming. The fruit was about to be starting to be produced. So life may look good now if you're running from God. But remember, fruit comes later. Sowing comes first. They don't happen simultaneously. You're sowing something that you're going to reap later. So we need to be careful at what we're sowing. So life may look good now. You think you are receiving good returns from running from God because the doors are wide open. Everything's working out perfect. I can't believe that I came down to Joppa and there's a ship there going to Tarshish. That's exactly where I wanted to go. And it wasn't full. The men said, pay your fare and come on and go with us. Life couldn't be any better. I could be going to the Assyrians and might lose my life, but here I've got a cruise going to Tarshish. Everything's great. But Jonah didn't know the storm that was coming up that was about to hit his life. Remember, the harvest comes later. God is not mocked. We will pay for our rebellion later, somewhere down the line. We don't get off the hook. Jonah was about to start paying for his rebellion against God. So running from God opens the door to difficult circumstances. I don't know anybody that has ever ran from God and not run into trouble. Anytime you're running away from God, you're running into trouble. Jonah was running away from God, and there were difficult circumstances on the horizon. Jonah, first of all, finds himself in a terrible storm. In verse 4, up until this point, everything's great. But the Lord sent out a great windstorm on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. This was no ordinary storm, because these are seasoned sailors that Jonah gets on the boat. This is their business. They had a cargo ship because they threw the cargo overboard. So they spent their life on the ocean. They've hit storm after storm after storm. Storms are just something you ride out. This was no ordinary storm. This one was so bad that these seasoned sailors who've been in every situation conceivable were now terrified for their own life. Probably for the first time, they've been terrified. Because this was not just a windstorm. This was something so terrible, they were willing to risk everything except their own lives. The very cargo that they were responsible for, they were throwing it overboard to lighten the ship and hopefully be able to survive the storm. But they got to a point, they said, there's no way we're going to survive this unless this storm stops. And so Jonah finds himself in a terrible storm. Not just a storm, a terrible storm. You see, now the fruit that he has sown, he's starting to reap. Because Jonah is on this boat with these men. They're all going down. Jonah finds himself in a terrible storm. If you're running from God this morning, I promise you, I've been there. Probably everybody in here can stand up and testify that you've been there too. That when you try to run from God, there's a storm on the horizon. You cannot get away. You might as well, I'm getting to the end of the story, but you might as well go before God, repent of your rebellion, and go do what God's called you to do, because it's not going to go away. Remember that when God speaks, it is eternal. The Bible teaches that when God speaks, His words will never die. That's why the Bible says it's living and powerful. God doesn't say stuff just to be saying it. I say stuff and you say stuff offhanded and we really don't mean it. But God has never said anything that is not truth and it's not going to last. So if He ever tells me to do something, just because I don't do it doesn't mean that God's going to forget about it. And this is Jonah's case. He told him to go to Nineveh and preach to them. And Jonah's running from God and God's not going to forget about it. He's got a mission for Jonah, and until He gets Jonah's attention through a storm and circumstances, he's not going to let his word die. He's going to make it happen. So Jonah finds himself in a terrible storm. Number two, Jonah finds himself in a dire situation. Life and death. In verse 12, he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest or this great storm is because of me." Jonah knew what the storm was there for. And so Jonah finds himself in a dire situation. God cares about you so much that He's willing to do whatever to get your attention. And God knew how hard Jonah's heart was, that just a inconvenience or a flat tire or anything we could throw out an excuse for not following God, God knew Jonah wasn't going to respond to that. He responded to a devastating storm that was coming into his life. You see, that's where we don't want to find ourselves. Because it's not going to end. God's not going to give up on us. He's going to keep putting on the pressure and keep putting on the pressure until we give in. We're not big and bad enough to stand before God and say, "I'm never going to follow you." If you do, the storm will get harder and it will get more difficult until God finally gets your attention. So Jonah finds himself in a dire situation. Just remember this morning, if you're trying to run from God, there's some rough days ahead. There's a terrible storm on the horizon. Not because God is mean, it's because He loves you too much for you to try to run away from Him. Number three, we find Jonah. Jonah finds himself in a well of a problem. In verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights." Now, just quickly, I'm fixing to leave in a minute. Jonah finds himself in a well of a problem. Could this happen? It did happen. Can it happen today? I don't know. But did it happen? Yeah, it happened. The Bible talks about Leviathan in the book of Job and another place. It talks about this huge sea creature that may not even be alive today. But whatever it was, this huge fish, God prepared it, and it was a fish, and it did swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. The fish did spit Jonah out on the ground, just like the Bible said. I have no problem believing that God could not perform this and make this happen. And so Jonah finds himself in a well of a problem. Because of this, let me share with you what happens to our heart when we try to run from God. First of all, a rebellious heart is calloused. A rebellious heart becomes calloused really, really quick. How calloused was Jonah's heart? It says in verse 5, They were in the middle of the storm. The seamen were going crazy, throwing cargo over the board. They were doing everything that they can, putting down anchors or whatever, trying to keep the ship in the storm steady. They were at their wit's end. They didn't know what else to do. So they go get Jonah. Where's Jonah in all this? In verse 5 it says, "But Jonah had gone down into the belly of the lowest parts of the ship, and he had laid down and he was asleep." You see, that's a calloused heart. God's trying to get Jonah's attention, and he is knocked out. He's having a dream of maybe arriving on the shores of Tarshish, and getting away from God, and sunny days ahead. When up above, the men are fighting for their lives because Jonah's heart was hard. You see, when we first run from God, our heart is calloused. It is hard, and it does not hear anything from God. And Jonah was down in this thing about to lose his life, but yet his heart was so callous that he didn't even realize the danger that he was in. Jonah also told the men that why he was going to Tarshish. In verse 10, "Then the men were exceedingly afraid of him and said, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told him." This is what Jonah said. This is how callous his heart was. He goes down to Joppa. He finds his ship going to Tarshish. He said, "Can I jump on board? I'm running away from my God and I want to get as far away from him as I can." Sure, they took his money and led him on board. So Jonah told them. He wasn't hiding it. His heart was so callous, he just spilled it out. "I'm running from God." And that's the way people are who try to run from God. They even get bold. They don't mind telling people that they know they should be in church. They know they should be serving, but I'm not. Because your heart is callous, and Jonah was so callous that he told these men he was running from God and didn't even bother him. A rebellious heart is also a contempt heart or a cold heart, because Jonah was in deep sleep on the ship. So his heart was cold. You see, when you're running from God, you have a cold heart. It doesn't respond to spiritual things. When you do come to church, you don't get anything out of it. When you do read your Bible, it just doesn't make any sense. When you do try to pray, you give up real quickly because you're not getting anything out of it. Because you can't be in a right relationship with God when you're running from God. And Jonah was running from God, and he had a cold heart and a calloused heart because he was in rebellion against God. Also, a rebellious heart is critical. When you run into somebody outside of the will of God, they're a mean person. I've been there, and you've been there, and there are people there right now. When you run from God, you're a very mean person. You're a very critical person. You can tell everybody why you don't go to that church because of those people, that situation, that did this, the preacher did this, this person did that, or whatever. You can give them a list a mile long of why you don't go to church. Because a rebellious heart outside of the will of God can't be anything but a critical heart. And Jonah had a critical heart. He was rebelling against God and told people that he was. So Jonah had a bad attitude. How do I know that? Well, first of all, he ran from God. But let's fast forward through the story real quickly. In chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. "But it displeased Jonah, and he became angry." This is when he was doing what God called him to do. He didn't even like that. When he was forced to do what God called him to do, he was still mad at God. And he says, "And so he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Lord, was it not what I said when I was in my country? Therefore I fled to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore, O Lord, please take my life, for it is not good for me to live.'" Even though Jonah's doing what God called him to do, his critical heart, he's got a bad attitude. And in verse 5 through 9, we find that he's sitting in the shade now on top of the hill. Even though he's preached to Nineveh, they are fasting and praying, and God has relented of his harm he's going to bring on them. Jonah's sitting on the mountainside looking into Nineveh, hoping that fire and brimstone or something would rain down on the Ninevites and God would destroy them anyway. He was just not happy because his heart was not right with God. He had a critical heart. He had a bad attitude. And so I have to ask myself this. If I have a bad attitude, it's because I'm in rebellion against God. I need to quit blaming everybody and everything. Go look in the mirror, and the person staring back at me is my biggest problem. Because I'm out of the will of God, and I need to quit blaming everybody else and realize that I'm the problem. You see, the sailors were in danger and everything else until Jonah got right with God. It gets worse. Running from God creates family problems. Running from God creates family problems. It creates problems in marriages. When a spouse, a husband's running from God, or a wife's running from God, it creates stress within the family. Or when a child runs from God, or everybody runs from God, it creates stress in families. When it comes to children, running from God teaches children to do the same. So if I run from God and I've got children, guess who I'm teaching to run from God? I'm teaching my children to rebel against God. They're going to do what they've seen and what they've learned and what they saw in their parents. We usher in a generational cycle of rebellion against God. Because we rebelled against God, our children, and they raised their children and so forth. You disobey God, so your children learn to disobey God. Just throwing this in here. If you don't tithe and give and serve in the church, you're teaching your children not to tithe and give and serve. You're teaching them to steal from God just like you do. You come to church only when it's convenient. You teach your children that church is not important. So don't be surprised when you treat churches to be convenient for you, and then your children treat churches unnecessary completely. What you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. That's a proven truth. As a parent, we're setting our children up for spiritual success or spiritual ruin. Running from God also creates friend problems. How do we see this in Jonah? Jonah got on the ship with these men that he was acquainted with now, and he put their lives at danger. So not only is it creating problems in your family running from God, people that know you, you put them in that a dangerous situation. Jonah's rebellion put other people in jeopardy, in danger. Jonah was also separating himself from family and friends. He left his hometown, and he's going to a place to where he knows nobody. So he's leaving family and friends behind. Satan always isolates people so that he can that will have positive influence in their lives. People who run from God don't want to be around godly people because Satan always isolates people. For some reason, it's in human nature, when you have a problem, you stop hanging around people, or at least certain people. And that's exactly what Satan wants. He wants to remove you from positive influence in your life. When sheep wander from the flock, they become easy prey for the wolf. Peter says in 5:8, be self-controlled, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking someone he may devour. So when sheep walk away from the flock, they become easy prey for the wolf. What is your current situation? What is the solution to your situation? We'll get on this more in a couple of weeks, but in chapter 2 and verse 1, when all this happened, it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord from the fish's belly. You see, the solution to your rebellion against God is falling on your face before Him and repenting and going to do what God's called you to do. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for all that we can learn from Jonah. And what we've learned this morning is that you have a storm ready for our discipline. We cannot run from you as your people, as your children, and get away with it. You will cause situations and circumstances and problems beyond our comprehension. You will put the pressure on us, and you will increase it until we surrender to you and do what you've called us to do. So, Father, if there's anyone in here this morning, they know that they're running from God. They know that they're not doing what you've called them to do. And, Lord, the storms in their life, they're about to get to the point of giving up. Lord, you're the storm creator. When we surrender to you, you can take the storm away. And so I pray this morning that we're just tired of running. We're tired of fighting the wind. And we're tired of rowing. And that we would just come this morning and surrender our lives back to you. And then get up and go to our Nineveh and do whatever you've called us to do. So Lord, during this invitation time, if there's anyone that needs to make a decision, I pray that they will take this opportunity in this moment that you've given them to be restored. In Jesus' name, amen. While we sing this morning, let's stand. If you need to respond to the Lord in any way, the altar's open. If you need me to pray for you, I'll be glad to pray for you. But God just needs you to fall before Him and say, God, I'm tired of running. I'm rebelling against you. I'm coming back. Let's sing together.